Our scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 16 tonight. We'll read from the opening verse. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favour is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboureth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. And an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbour, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Amen. The Lord will bless that chapter out of the book of Proverbs that we have read. Verse 25 is our text this evening. It reads, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We'll bow together in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to his word. Our Father, we do look to thee afresh for help now as we come to the word of God. We pray that thou would own thy truth, and as we meditate upon it in this place, that thy word will live in our hearing and be with power to our hearts. O come and speak, O Lord. We pray that the warning that is sounded here in this portion will be taken on board by every one of us, and that we would be in the right way rather than in the wrong way. Lord, have mercy now upon us, and bless us, we ask. Give help in the preaching, I ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our time in this world is often likened unto a journey when you read the scriptures. A journey that we are undertaking as we pilgrimage from the day of our birth through life to the very day of our death. And that journey that we take is along a path or a course or a way, as the term is here in verse 25 of this text of scripture that I want us to consider. Interestingly, that word way, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, 23 times that word is translated by journey in the Old Testament. For example, a very well known one, 1 Kings 19 verse 4 speaking about Elijah, and it says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness." And as I say, over 20 times, 23 times, that word, that same original word, is translated by the English word journey. And it indicates something of what is in view here when it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man." Because it's speaking here not so much about the physical journey that we're engaged on, but more a spiritual journey that we take, a spiritual choice that we make. Yes, there are physical aspects to the journey that we make through life. We are physical entities, after all. We're physical beings, and therefore there's going to be that physical dimension. But it's more in view here the spiritual choice that we make. The spiritual choice. Because man is essentially a spiritual being or a religious being. He has been created as such. Now he has lost the knowledge of God because of sin, but that hasn't taken away the fact that he is still a religious being. Man is a spiritual being primarily. Wherever man is found, he is a spiritual being. Even with, in our own day, the decline of the knowledge of the things of God and regard for the Word of God, there is something that fills its place. Sadly, it's false religion or views and ideas about life or death or the afterworld or whatever that are totally contrary to the Scriptures, but there is something that takes its place. Man is a spiritual being. He has got a set of spiritual beliefs. Now, for many, that might be that they deny the existence of God, but it's still a set of spiritual beliefs that he is making. It is a choice that he has made. It is a road that he is journeying when he has made those choices. And that spiritual journey is going to lead to a destination. We're going to reach the end of the journey. We're going to reach the day of our death. We're going to go out into God's eternity. And the destination and the eternal abode where we will spend all of eternity is going to be determined by the nature of that spiritual path that we chose to take. Because all spiritual paths do not end in the same place. And that's the point that is being made here by the wise man Solomon in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. All spiritual paths, all spiritual journeys do not end up in the same place. There is a desire on man's part that they do. And as we'll come to see, that is very much the case. But the Lord is pointing out here that is not this. The journey does not end in the same place. Therefore, the spiritual path that we choose is very important. Very important. If we're going to arrive at the right destiny, if we're going to arrive in glory, if we're going to spend eternity in heaven, then it's vitally important we make the right spiritual choice and we join the right path and we choose the right path. That we are directed into the right path. Now, this same statement is made a couple of chapters back in Proverbs. If you just turn back to chapter 14 and look at verse 12, and you'll see that it's a repetition here of these same words. Chapter 14, verse 12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So it's repeated verbatim in these two places. And that surely underscores the importance of the thought that is here as well. The Lord has stated it twice. If he stated it once, that is good enough for us to take heed and to take notice of and to have regard of what it is that the Lord is saying in this particular verse of Scripture. But it's repeated twice, this very same thought, that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So how vitally important that we are on the right way. And what I want us to think particularly about tonight is the end of our own ways. Because that's what is in view here. The end of a man's own way. The ways of his own choosing. That's what is being pointed out here. First of all, I want you to think about man's determination to choose his own way. It's interesting down through this chapter of the book of Proverbs, the emphasis that is placed upon man's way and the choices that he makes. I have some of them here marked in the chapter, but if you go back to verse 2, there it says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes." Verse 7, "When a man's ways please the Lord." Verse 9, "When a man's heart deviseth his way." Verse 17, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil." And then verse 25, our text, there's one also there at the end of verse 29, "A violent man enticeth his neighbour and leadeth him into the way that is not good." Verse 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." So there's a number of references here to the way, to the choice that people make. This is the way they're going to go. This is the course they're going to take. This is the spiritual journey that they've launched out on and that they are progressing along. And there is in man a determination to choose his own way. There is that desire to do so. He looks on particular ways and he deems them to be good. Our text puts it this way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It seemeth right. It seems right to the human mind, to the reasoning of the mind. As he thinks and makes choices for himself, he looks on a particular course and he thinks that's the way to take, that's the course to follow in life. Because it seems good to him. It seems right to him. And therefore he chooses to go along this way because he has made the choice. He has come to this conclusion. It seems good in his eyes. And that's the only criteria, it seems here, that there is for the choice that is made. It just seems good. And there are many people who live like that. It's good or right in their eyes because it's popular. There's many on the way. There's many on this road. And they think, well, it has to be the right road. It has to be the good way. Because there's many. There's a multitude here on this road. And they join that road. And off they go down that particular course with regards to how they live. With regards to spiritual things and to the Lord and the things of God and His Word and thinking about their soul. And off they go down that particular way of living and thinking and acting because they think this is the good way, this is the right way. Because it's very popular. There's plenty of companions. There's a crowd on that road. There's others who take the road because it brings pleasure. It satisfies the desires of the natural heart and the natural mind. And again, it seems good. It seems the right way to take because it brings pleasure. They find a degree of satisfaction in the things that they do. And whether it's the pursuit of pleasure or possessions or pastimes or whatever it is that they are following after, they get a little satisfaction to some degree. Because as we know, the pleasures of sin, they do last for a season. And there's many who choose a particular road because, again, it appeals to them. They think it's the right way, it's the good way, because it brings a little satisfaction to them. And again, it seems to be the right way to go. But I want you to consider the fact tonight that the natural man does not have the ability to choose correctly. Isn't it interesting how it is stated there in verse 25? There is a way that seemeth right. It just seems. Doesn't necessarily follow that it is right. But it seems to be right. Man, by his own reasoning, by his own thinking, by looking and judging himself and evaluating and weighing it up and making this decision, he thinks this is the right way to go. But all he can do is choose that which seems. And the scripture reminds us that it is not in our ability to choose correctly. It is not in our ability to choose wisely. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 10 and there's a verse here that we would do well to tie up with verse 23 or verse 25 of Proverbs 16 that we're thinking about tonight. Because one explains the other very much. Jeremiah chapter 10 and it's verse 23. And it reads, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his. Oh, now Jeremiah has learned something. He's a little wiser than many others. And he says, O Lord, I know. I know. There's certainty here about what Jeremiah knows. There's no certainty about what is said in Proverbs 16:25 about the way that seemeth right. There's no certainty there. It just seems right. In a man's estimation and his own evaluation of something, it seems to be right. There's no certainty. But when we come to Jeremiah here in chapter 10, verse 25, verse 23, Jeremiah says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. He does not have the wisdom nor the knowledge to make that judgment of himself. We do not have that ability. We do not have that ability because the natural mind has been deceived and blinded by sin. That's why we cannot make the choice ourselves. The ability to determine correctly, the ability to reason wisely is not in us in spiritual things. We do not have that ability when it comes to spiritual things. Now, somebody may have great powers of deduction and may have skill at discerning in other areas of life and may even have made great advancements in some other particular area of life. And that often happens. But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to choosing the path to walk in life, We do not have that power of ourselves. We do not have that ability. It is not in man. All he can do is choose that which seems. But he has chosen foolishly. He chooses wrongly. Now if you go back there to Proverbs 16 and look at that first mention of ways in the chapter, verse 2, it says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You see, here's evidence of the deception that is abroad. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. This is the reasoning that he employs. This is the conclusion that he comes to, that one way is as good as the other. My way is as good as the other individual's way, and I choose to go this way. And who's anyone else to tell me it's the wrong way? Every way is right. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eye. And we know, and the Word of God teaches us that it is the case, that not every way is clean. Not every way is clean. There are clean ways, but there are also sinful ways. Do you notice there, on down the chapter, it speaks about ways that please the Lord, verse 7. It talks about, verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. You see, the chapter goes on to highlight this issue that all ways are not clean. Though a man may think it in his own mind and reason it out for himself, and he has come to the conclusion, my way is as good as somebody else's way. The choices that I make, I can make them, and they will not do me any harm. And there's even those who think, well, I will get to heaven this way. But the chapter does highlight the fact that there are ways that are not clean. It is not in man. He does not have the power to choose wisely, and yet, sadly, many tonight are doing that very thing. They're following their own way, making their own choices. And that could be you tonight in this meeting, following your own way and making your own choices. Choosing for yourself, thinking that somehow you can reason it out of yourself, and that you have the ability to choose what is good and what is right and what is beneficial. It seems good in your eyes, and therefore off you go. Remember this. It is not in you. It is not in you to direct your own steps into the ways of peace and joy and eternal bliss, even though man is determined. I want you to notice here as well the end of man's ways, because it goes on to say there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of death. There are many ways that men choose, and you'll notice that it says there the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of death. There's many ways that men who and women who do not want anything to do with the Lord, they choose this way or that way or the other way to go, but it has one end. It has one destination. It's the death. It ends in death. There are many ways to end up in hell. There are many ways, but they all end up in that destination because it's the way that man has chosen for himself. He has made the choice to go along this way. And he may cut out a way that is particular to himself, one of his own choosing. And he may go along even priding himself that he has made these choices for himself and no one else has influenced him or no one else has told him what way to go and what decisions to make in life and what way to go. His way will end up the same as someone else who's following their own way and they are determined to make their own choices. They will end up in the very same destiny. Man's ways end up at destinations he never intended. You see, no one in their right mind sets out to go to hell. No one in their right mind. But yet, sadly, that is the road that many spiritually are travelling. The choices that they have made, the road that they are on, the journey that they are taking, that's the destination that they're going to reach. But they never anticipate that. They never learn that. They never understand that. It does not lead to the destination they anticipate because of the deception that is there. Because the mind is deceived, because there is a blindness to the heart, and he cannot reason wisely. And he does not see that these things will happen. That has ever been the characteristic of sin and the devil. The devil set out to deceive man with the idea that they can follow their own path of their own choosing, and that it will lead to enlightenment, and it will lead to eternal bliss. The devil did that in the very first sin, and he's still doing it today. He still deceives people today to think that they can launch out in their path of their own choosing, and it will bring them to enlightenment and eternal bliss. Look at the words of, or listen to the words of Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There's those two thoughts, enlightenment, eternal life. And there are people today who have launched out on the path, and they think that's what they are pursuing. They're thinking, I want nothing to do with the things of God. I want nothing to do with religion. I want nothing to do with Jesus Christ or the gospel. I don't want to acknowledge that I have a soul at all. Oh, I am enlightened. I am enlightened. I have more learning. I don't believe that which is written in a Bible, that some book could teach you these things and tell you that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. No, I have got enlightenment. Well, that's what the devil told Eve. If you only just partake of this fruit and disobey God, you will have enlightenment. You will know more than you have ever known in your life. And as we know, it was a lie. It was a lie, and Eve discovered it was too late that it was a lie. The same thing happening today with people. And you speak to individuals, witness to individuals, and they have their own choices and their own decisions that they have made. And there are those that want nothing to do with the things of God at all, and they think they are enlightened. And they think that they are more light, and they despise the individual who follows the Bible and who comes to know the Lord and who lives in the light of eternity. They despise such a person, and they think that they are more enlightened. Well, that's what the devil promised at the very beginning. But it ends in death. We're told that here in Proverbs 16:25, the end thereof are the ways of death. There may be many ways, but it ends up in the same destiny, eternal death. Eternal separation from God for all of eternity. To live in this condition is to die. If somebody goes on determined that they're not going to listen to anyone else, they're not going to take heed to the word of God, they're going to make their own choices. And here's the end. They are already spiritually dead, and one day they'll be eternally. They're spiritually separated from God, and one day they'll be eternally separated. There's an interesting observation made over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6 with regards to those who pursue pleasure. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6. We can just take the verse and let it stand on its own. It says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Now, it seems a paradox. How can you be living and dead at the same time? Well, we know it's speaking about two different realms. It's speaking on one hand about the physical realm. Somebody is alive and they're pursuing pleasure. They're pursuing their own way. They're going their own path. They're taking the journey that they have decided. They have deemed this road to be right, and they're living for pleasure. But the commentary, the spiritual commentary upon them is they're dead while they're spiritually dead. As they pursue that course and follow that path and take that journey that they have chosen for themselves. No, they may be physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. And if they continue on down that path, that's where they will end up for eternity. Not only spiritually dead, but eternally. Separated from God, not only in life and eternity. There is a way that seemeth right on, but the ends are off for the ways. And there are multitudes tonight, sadly, as we know, and they have launched out on their path and on their chosen course. And it's going to end up in death. May that not be you. May that not be you tonight. That brings us to one final thought I want us to consider here. And that is the imperative that we choose God and follow His way. It's not in the verse itself, but it's in this chapter that we have read through tonight. For example, I've already mentioned verse 7 to you. When a man's ways please the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord. Verse 17 again. The highway of the upright is to depart from. So there is another way that is inferred here in this chapter. There is another way. There is man's way that he chooses and he determines that he's going to pursue. And it ends in death. But then there's another way. There's God's way. There is God's way. There's the way that pleases the Lord. There is the highway of the upright. To use the language there of verse 17. This is the way that we need to be on. This is the way that we need to join. We need to join God's way. Because there is a way. There is a way that leads to glory. We're all familiar with those words in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." There's the way of man's choosing. There's the wide gate and there's the broad way, and there's a multitude that's on it, but it leads to destruction. But then we're instructed to enter into the strait gate. Avoid entering in at the wide gate. No, enter in at the strait gate. And then verse 14 goes on, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that." There is another way. There are all the ways of men, of their choosing, that's ending in death. But there is a way that ends in life. But it is the Lord. It is the Lord's way. And this is the way that men and women are to choose. This way takes you by the cross. We sang that hymn there, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross." Because this is where this way takes us. It takes us by the cross. John Bunyan pictured that in his Pilgrim's Progress. The journey of Christian from the city of destruction. Getting the direction from the evangelist who make his journey towards the gate and pointed on towards the cross.
the way of the cross. God's way leads by the cross. It brings us to that middle tree that stood in Calvary. It brings us there to the one who died to save us from our sins, to put away our sins. Because if you look there at Proverbs 16, verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. God's way is a way of repentance. It is a way of repentance. It is a way of forsaking sin. It is a way of having done with those things that will bring us down to death. Those things that are as millstones around our neck that will bring us down into hell. We must forsake those things. It is a way of repentance. It is a way of repentance. Indeed. If we read on verse 17, Proverbs 16, verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. He that keepeth God's way preserveth his soul. You see, there is the way of life. There is the way of death. There is the way of life. If we come God's way, if we join that way, if we come by the cross, it's a way of the preserving of. It does not end in death. Rather, it ends in glory. But we must come by the way of the cross. This way only goes by the cross. We must come that way. We must come and seek Jesus Christ and come to know. The Lord has directed, has marked out this way. It's interesting to observe Israel going through the wilderness, how the Lord told them that he had marked out a way for them. For example, Deuteronomy 1:33, and he's reminding them here now of how it was with them during those 40 years in the wilderness. And it says, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. The Lord is reminding them, I went before you to show you. Well, there is a way the Lord has shown. It is a way that is revealed in his word. He has made known that way to us. It is the way of the cross. It is the way that brings us to the cross. Brings us to the place of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And then we are to follow that way. In Psalm 143, verse 8, the psalmist said, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my... Cause me to know the way. Have we ever thought like that? Have we ever prayed? Have we ever asked the Lord, Lord, show me? Instead of choosing for ourselves that which seems to be right in our own eyes, have we ever come and said, Lord, show me the way? And if the Lord, if we ever pray that, the Lord will show us the way to the cross. That's the way the Lord will. He will show us to the cross. He will direct it. His whole word is directing men and women to the cross. That's why Christ even was lifted up on a cross. Lifted up for men and women to see. Lifted up between heaven and... You think of those cities of refuge that there were in Israel. Every one of them was on a hill. There were six of them, three on each side of the River Jordan. Places of safety that the manslayer could run to and be safe in. If he accidentally took the life of another individual, he could run, he could flee at a moment's notice. As soon as he had committed that action, unwittingly, it was manslaughter, it wasn't outright murder, but God had made the means of preserving his life. If he ran to the city of refuge, and he was safe there, if he got inside the gates, every one of those cities of refuge was on a hill, set up upon a hill. It could be seen for miles. When somebody was running, seeking to get to the city of refuge, they could lift up their eyes and they could see it up on the hill. There's the place. There's the place I must get. There's the place I must pursue the path and get along the journey and arrive in that place and I will be safe. Well, as we know, every one of those cities of refuge is a picture. God's way leads us to the place where Christ gave his life for sinners in order to cleanse us and forgive us for the sins that we have committed that were worthy of. The things that we have committed are worthy of death. It's the hill of the cross. Go that way. And if we have never come that way tonight, and if we have never been brought that way or shown that way by the Lord, then we are on a way of our own. And it tells us here in Proverbs 16:25 where that's going to end. It's going to end. But if, on the other hand, we have come away shown to us by the way of the cross, it's the way of forgiveness. It's the way of eternal life. It is indeed the entering in at the straight gate and the joining of the narrow way. It is the way that leads. And may we tonight be on. And there is that challenge then that goes out to us tonight. Just what way are we on? Are we choosing one that seems right to us? Or have we come the way of the cross? The way that this book mentions and directs it, points us to the cross and tells us to come by the cross, find forgiveness, cleanse, salvation, and join the way that leads to heaven. Oh, may we be on the highway of the up. May we be on the highway of the up that leads to heaven. It is a highway. It is leading us upward, leading us on to heaven. Man's way is leading down to death. God's way leads us up to. We'll be on that way. Let's bow together in prayer.